Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in this house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all of your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door upon yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say. There was a nun who was driving to work. She worked at a hospital, and as she was driving, her car ran out of gas. So here she is, and she has to get out of the car, and she has to walk to the gas station, and she's got her full nun uniform and the habit on and everything, and she walks up to the gas station, and she says, "I need to buy some gas and a gas container." And the station worker said, "I'm sorry, but we're out of gas containers." This week is the final sermon in the series that we've been putting together called "What's in Your Hand?" And I've really enjoyed talking about how God uses ordinary things and ordinary people to do something extraordinary with them. Each week we've been looking not only at what thing someone has in their hands, but also we've been looking at the excuses that we have in our lives. And how many of you know this? We all have an excuse. You know that? We all have an excuse. Do you believe that? We all have an excuse. What I want to do is I'm going to give you just a few minutes, maybe even 30 seconds. I want to ask you to turn just for a moment and talk to the people that are around you and really be honest. What are some of the excuses you've used before in your life about, okay, God, the only reason I can't do this is because this. God, I hear you calling me to step out on faith and do this, but here's the reason why I can't. So just take a few moments and talk with the people around. I'm not going to bash anybody. There's no wrong answer here. Just talk about what are the excuses that you've used in your life. All right. All right, let me draw us back. I gave you time to talk now so you don't have to talk during the rest of my sermon. I'm just playing. But I want to hear, I walked around and I heard some of the excuses that we've used. What are some of the excuses that we're willing to share? Okay, I've heard God say, tug at my heart, and clearly I know God is saying, I want you to do this, but. Anybody bold enough to raise your hand? What is it? What's your but? Don't have time. I heard that a lot. I got to work. I'm sorry, God. I would, but I'm sick. Okay. I'm too tired. I heard a lot of that. I'm in college. I got no money. Okay. I'm out of my comfort zone. Thank you for being honest. Diane, what are you going to say? I'm not qualified. Girl, I don't know how. I'm too short. Ooh, say that again. I don't even like those people. Send me anywhere, Lord. What else? I'm sleepy. Okay. I see one over there. I had a bad hair day. Okay. I don't have that problem. I can't hear. Fear. Okay. Carl, that's your hand. Ooh, let somebody else do it. Okay, yes. It's not my fault. Wow. Those are great excuses and honest. Those are honest excuses that we come up with. In today's scripture lesson, there's a woman, and she's got an excuse. And you know, I think it's a pretty good one. Here's what she says. Your servant, my husband, is dead. So her husband's dead, right? And you know that your servant did what? So he was faithful, okay? He did all this stuff, and yet he still died. And now the creditors have come to take my two children to be his what? Slaves. So here this woman, she's in this dire situation. And I think that there might be some of us who have situations that are pretty dire as well. Some of us have kids that are hooked on drugs. Someone isn't exactly certain about how they're going to pay the next bill for their house. This widow is facing a serious problem. She's got a serious excuse, but instead of turning away from God, what she does is she turns towards God. She goes to the prophet, and the prophet asks her two questions. The first question is this. He asks, well, what do you want me to do about this? But then even before that she can answer that, he asks the second question. And the second question is kind of like the question we've been asking for the last month. What's in your hand? What do you have, right? He asks her, well, what do you got in the house? And here's her answer. Nothing but a small jar of what? Olive oil. She says, nothing at all at first. I got nothing. I think it's interesting that when we're in tough situations, we can't see what we've got. All we can see is what we don't have or what we're missing. That's what we focus on. I know some ladies, not my wife, of course, who can go into their closet and there can be clothes everywhere. Clothes all on the rack, clothes on the floor, clothes in the drawers, clothes in baskets, right? And they can look and touch every article of clothes and then turn around and say, I've got nothing to wear, right? We look and all we see is what we're missing, right? Miss Vicky, don't point your finger at me, Miss Vicky. Hold on now. Miss Vicky said, I'm going to get him. What we need to do is start looking at what we're blessed with. Stop waiting for what we want and start working with what we have. Stop waiting for what we want and start working with what we have. She says, I've got nothing except a small jar of olive oil. You might say, what good is a jar of olive oil? Well, olive oil was valuable. It's used in cooking. It's used as fuel. It was used in worship to anoint. But she only had a little. And here's a piece of good news. We have a God that specializes in doing a lot with a little. We have a God that specializes in doing a lot with a little. Moses says, I can't do it, God. I don't speak very good, and I got a bad reputation, and the only thing I've got is this staff, this stick in my hand. That's all. Saul says to David, you can't go out and fight Goliath. You're nothing but a small boy. The boy says, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Well, that's all right, because God specializes in doing a lot with a little. And if we look at our lives, and if we're willing, God can do the same thing with us. God is telling us, stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. I love the story of Archie Manning. You guys know Archie Manning, right? Archie Manning, if we were to ask him the question, Archie Manning, what do you want? He'd probably say, you know, I want to be the greatest football player that there is. I want to have Super Bowl rings. I want it all. And then you say, well, Archie, what do you got? And if he was honest, he'd say, well, I'm only a mediocre player. I got skills, but I'm not the best there is. But hold on, Archie. If you take a deeper look at what you've got some sons, right? Now just imagine yourself as Archie Manning. You would think, okay, this is what's important in my life, this football game, that going out and winning, going out and spending my time practicing, doing this, and yet never realizing that his true claim to fame would be pouring himself into the lives of his two sons. And as a result of that, he would have 4 Super Bowl rings. Two from Eli Manning and two from who? Peyton Manning. What's in your hands? What do you have? Sometimes we only focus on what we think we've got or the things that we can't see, and I don't have this and I don't have that. And God is saying, wait a minute, the little that you have, I can do a lot with. Here's what the prophet says to her. He says, then go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. I love this. He's saying, now I'm not talking about a few, not a little. I want you to grab a lot of them. Then go and shut the door upon yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. When one is full, set it aside. So I think this is interesting. He doesn't tell her what God's going to do. He just says what you're supposed to do, right? And sometimes that's where we get caught up. We can't control God. God's the one who's in control. I don't want to get up here and tell you God is going to do this and God has to do that. No. God is the one. But there are things that we know we should do, right? And what we can do is step out on faith and be faithful in the small things that he has for us and then let him increase that. We need to do what we can to show our faith to God. And when we show our faith, God shows his faithfulness over and over again. So he says her to do this. So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, what? There is not another. And then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your son can live on the rest. Here's the point that I want to make with this. Our needs are God's opportunities to reveal his generosity towards us. I think I said it before, it's a setup. You know, we look at our problems and we think this is so horrible, but every problem is an opportunity for God to step in and do something great, right? David Hunter didn't want to go and have heart surgery, right? He did not want to have that done. And yet his testimony today is here because he had that done. He's a witness. Don Sloan didn't want to have a heart issue. And yet, because of that, the setup is he's here now and today and saying, God is good. With our children that we taught the lessons to, they don't want to be in situations of change. They don't want to be in situations where it's scary. They want to be in situations when it's unfair. And yet, even then, God is good. And it's an opportunity because you know what? If everything were just great, if I had millions of dollars, if I had all the talent in the world, and if I did something, who would get the credit? Hey, they'd say, oh, look at him. Look what he did with all his money. Look what he did with his talent. And yet when we have just a little and God does a lot, all the glory goes to God. Look at what God did. Elijah asks this woman in a terrible situation to go on to do something that sounds crazy. Go and get empty jars and then pour the last thing you've got into these empty jars. Go pour it out. I remember sitting in the kitchen of my cousin. She's got a mansion in Carmel. And I can remember sitting around the counter and she's telling a story. She says, Joe, I remember the day when all me and my husband had was $1 and a Burger King coupon. $1 and a Burger King coupon. And she said, you know what? I was praising the Lord. Because all we had was $1, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to eat. And the Burger King coupon said two burgers for the price of one. $1. And so she thanked God that God had provided a $1 and a Burger King coupon, and they had a meal. And then guess what happened the next day? God provided again. And the next day, God provided again. And the next day, God provided again. And now hear me. I'm not trying to say that God's going to give you a mansion. I'm not trying to say that God's going to increase your pant size. What I'm trying to say is that God provides. And that what we think is so small and so little, God can take and do something over and over again. When we show our faith, God shows his faithfulness. When we empty ourselves, God can fill us. Back to the scripture, Elijah says, go get a bunch of jars. go get a bunch of jars. And so here I've got a picture of a bunch of jars. And you'll notice in my bunch of jars, they come in all different colors, right? All different sizes. They can hold different amounts. Here's how it applies to us. Scripture says to us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure, which is Christ, in jars of clay. What does that mean? It means that our bodies, all different shapes, all different sizes, all different capacities, we are but clay, and yet within us, we hold the greatest treasure on earth. You know, the Spirit of God dwells within you. The greatest treasure in the world isn't going to be about money or anything else, but you've got the Spirit of God within you. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, lo, I am there among them. There's something special about you. But the question is this: are you empty? See, all of those jars, no matter what they look like, what color or how much they could hold, they all had one thing in common, and that's that they were empty. I coached soccer. Anybody else here was a coach or a teacher? I see that some. The biggest challenge for me was not the kids that had lower skills, but the kids who thought that they knew it all, right? I call it unteachable. And the thing is, you'd show them, okay, I want you to kick the ball right here. And the kids that were uncoachable, you know what they would say? I know. I know. I say, okay, Johnny, I want you to run over. I know, I know, I know. I said, okay, I want you to hold it. I know, I know, I know. And when we say that, are we empty? No. We're full of ourselves. You can't tell me anything. I'm too full. I got it. I know it all. And yet, the best chance for us to be used is when we empty ourselves. Sometimes we're empty because of problems and trials that we have. But other times we can be empty even when everything is going fine. We can choose to be empty. We can choose, Lord, I'm going to let go of myself. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to follow what you say. Lord, I'm not going to let my possessions possess me. And when we empty ourselves, when we make ourselves available, he will fill us. And I love this symbol that we're using in the scripture of the oil, because oil is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When they would anoint, that Holy Spirit fills us. And it reminds us of the power and the presence of God, that we can do more with him than we could ever do by ourselves. Let me take us back just for a moment to our excuses. I heard, we're tired, you don't feel equipped, you don't have enough time, don't have enough money. What were some of the other ones? Fear. Don't like those people anyway. All of those excuses. Can I tell you one thing? This is probably the most important thing that I'm saying in all the last five sermons. Every single one of those excuses is valid. Every single excuse you got is valid if God was calling you to do it all by yourself, right? If God was saying, Pastor Cole, I want you to go out and I want you to preach to your neighborhood, and I'm not going with you, okay? You are on your own. Then any of those excuses is good enough, right? Keith, if God is saying, I want you to raise money and I want you to help to build something, and I'm not going with you, I'm going to stay over here, but you do it all by yourself, then any and every excuse you've got, it's valid. And yet, if you believe that God walks with you, that God puts his hand in your hand, then all of those excuses get washed away. If we truly believe that God is a provider, if we truly believe the scripture that says in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, then we have no excuse at all. I did a funeral last week, and here's what I said during the funeral. For those who are weak, God gives strength. To those who are in darkness, God gives light. To those who mourn, God gives comfort. To all who sin, God gives mercy. In every situation of our life, God is there with us, granting us the strength and the power that we need, for we are not alone. There was a nurse who worked at a hospital, and she was on the way to the hospital, and all of a sudden she ran out of gas, and she doesn't know what to do. She ends up getting out of the car and has to walk all the way to the gas station. She's got her full robe on and the habit, and she goes up to the gas station. She says, "I'd like to buy some gas, and I'd like to buy a gas container." And the station worker says, "I'm sorry, but we don't have any gas containers." So she's thinking, "Oh my gosh, I got to get to work. What am I going to do?" She walks back to her car, looks in her car for something, anything, and she sees there she's got a bedpan. So she takes the bedpan, she walks right back up to that gas station, pays for her gas, and fills the bedpan up. So she's walking back very carefully with this bedpan. She gets to her car, and she undoes the gas cap. Now, it just so happens that there are two guys watching from across the street. And one says to the other, "If that car starts, I'm going to church every Sunday for the rest of my life." Church, when you're empty, God will fill you up. When situations have you down, God will lift you up. All our excuses get washed away when we look at what's in our hands. Because ultimately, it's not about what's in our hands, but it's about who put them in our hands, right? I don't care if it's a rock. I don't care if it's a stick. I don't care if it's a flame, a fish, or even if it's empty jars. When we put our hands in the hands of the one who made the universe, we have everything we need. Amen? Amen.